You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, powered by Interstate Batteries. From your truck to your trail camera, Interstate Batteries has you covered. Visit your local Interstate Battery store today or online at interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Welcome to the For Love of the Land Podcast. We're your hosts, Adam Keith
and Matt Dye. Each week, we're interviewing guests from across America. They all have one thing in common. They all are tied to the land. So if you're like us and you love all things land, welcome home. Welcome to another For Love the Land podcast. This is your host, Matt Dye. And I don't know if we could have had a better morning. I just like kicking podcast off, fast moving action. And we got to paint the scene of what we're doing right now. It's opening day or youth season
in Missouri
here. Southern Missouri, we've got Seth Harker on the podcast, and we got his son, Trace Harker, here as well. And I don't know, it's mid-morning, late morning, and we're back at the truck, sitting around the tailgate. There is a longbeard gobbler. In the back of the truck, there's beef jerky, Gatorade, and water, and we're just kicking back and reminiscing after an incredible hunt this morning. I don't know if it gets much better than that for an early season hunt. What do you think, Seth?
No, just beautiful morning. Couldn't ask for a better scene, a better hunt, and lots of gobblers. And a wooded hunt at that. It's been a while for me to actually get to hunt them in the woods, and that's just what we got to do this morning. So been killing them in the food plots for the past couple of years, and that's always different in the woods. So got the heart pumping.
Yes, it certainly did. And I guess it's been – I don't know if we killed them last year in the timber or not, but quite a few in the field. But that's what I grew up doing.
Yeah.
It's just timber hunting birds. We had, pastures and stuff back home in Virginia. But it doesn't get any better than just that. I feel like they always feel that much closer.
Right.
And they're always looking so much harder.
Looking harder. And that's why we were proud of Trace this morning.
Oh, man.
Because they were looking hard, and he moved at the right times. And
yes, he did.
Everything just worked out. Beautiful.
Like a natural. Trace, how many turkeys have you killed in the spring before? You know what number this is for you?
Four, I think.
Four? Nice. And what? How old are you?
10.
10. Man, just getting it done.
Starting at six.
That's a pretty good streak. That's better than my streak. I'll say that much.
Bird a year. I think you've killed five.
Five?
Yeah, you killed 2 1 year. So you're up to five.
Man, awesome. Which hunt was your most favorite, most memorable? Do you know?
Probably my first one.
Yeah? Is that the
I
one?
I think you were. No, Adam.
Adam filmed that one. And that was right here, right
buffet.
Behind us.
Yeah.
The 360 buffet.
Yeah.
I know I've seen footage of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Three gobblers came in. You remember?
Yeah.
And they were right behind you guys, weren't they?
Yeah. And they got away from us.
Yeah.
And then Super Jake comes in.
Just connected
saved
with
the day.
That one. Yeah.
So Super Jake saved the day. Trace saved the day on that one. But,
man, that's awesome. Well, it's always fun to have a good hunt, of course, and get it all captured on footage to be able to relive that memory. But truthfully, this is what makes land, I think, so dynamic, is being able just to simply create memories like this. We're out here today. It's youth season. And just for the fact that there's days set aside to bring kids out to the outdoors like this, to be able to come out, it just happens to be, just a perfect, gorgeous day. It really doesn't get any better than this.
No, and this is...
Bring that from the dad's point of view.
Well, I mean, this is why we manage, and I know we talk a lot about the management, but this is why we manage so our children can have good experiences in the outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
We're hearing buzz around our area where they're not seeing a lot of turkeys, and as we witnessed this morning, we were jammed up with turkeys.
Oof. It was a 360. It really was.
It was wild. I mean, turkeys were around us the whole morning.
Yep.
And we finally just made it come into play. But we attribute that to not only our habitat. I know we talk a lot about habitat. I believe a lot of the timber work that we do and TSIs, mm-hmm. we make nesting habitat.
truthfully. That's a huge. They can't if you don't have a good start for a turkey.
Right.
On the landscape, then they're not going to be able to be there in great numbers.
Right. Yep. And then the second thing we probably do, we don't get ornery on them if we feel like we don't have a lot of turkeys or feel like the hatch was bad. Well, just like, you know, Adam was telling me, hey, we don't want to get too hard on them on the family farm.
Yeah.
We're not seeing like we have, and that's why we manage. We're not just out here to just shoot them up, kill them up, and stack as many turkeys as we can. We're here for the experience that we experienced this morning, and we're here to let others experience it too. And that's one reason we manage. And man, what a beautiful morning it is, and what a beautiful morning we've had so far.
And that's what I love about, you know, this is the culmination of a lot of the work that's happened. Like on this property we're sitting at, there was a clear cut. Was that last summer?
Yeah. Two
summers ago. That's right.
So it's going to be.
It's going to be perfect prime time from a succession regeneration standpoint this year. But, you know, this, all the things that you do prior to the, you know, managing the landscape, or excuse me, prior to the hunt and managing the landscape, this is why you do it. It doesn't get much more simpler than that, but it's super complex at the same time. Because I'm sure this is going to be a memory that, Trace, you'll probably remember for a long time, right?
Yeah.
Seth, same thing for you. I mean, this
is number five,
but you've been here with Trace on all of his kills, probably many of them right here off this exact property.
For sure, and a few misses.
A few swings and misses along the way. I think that's a story that we could all fall under there. But it doesn't get much better than the completion of a good hunt, and the success that, you know, you guys can come back later on. You said your wife was really looking forward to open day of general season, which comes in about a week from now. She's looking forward to getting out.
Right.
It's not just your enjoyment, you know, a man's game or whatever you want to call it. This is everyone. You know, everyone has the ability to come out here and have fun, chase long beards, and they'll give you your run for your money. That's for sure.
They will. That's what it's about. And that's, you know, spending time with the family and getting out and, you know, just having a good place, seeing the fruits of our labors. That's what it's about.
That's right. What are you guys doing later on this afternoon, Trace?
Fishing.
Cool. What are you going fishing for?
Catfish, perch.
Whatever bites the hook.
Yeah.
Cool. I like that. That's a good answer. Can't beat that.
That's actually another management, which you guys have talked about that.
We've
built a 3-acre pond / lake, and we introduced some hybrid stripers in it. And
cool.
Some catfish and bluegill, and the kids are looking forward to that. And that's just another thing we're managing for in the outdoors as well. And man, you can just take this I lost my train of thought.
Well, you can take kids in the outdoors and lead them in so many different directions.
Right.
And that's, again, you guys just built this lake. And I think I probably oversay it, but land is dynamic. I think it's here to be managed and manipulated for improvement, not degradation of a lot of things that we see around. But for your instance, you put in a lake.
Right.
Now that's additional recreational opportunities for you and your family to enjoy right there by your house and shop. So that's a whole nother dynamic that you can go into. And you've got a younger daughter, and the two of them can grow up fishing after school right there in the ponds. And I know for me as a kid, and probably for you too, but those experiences, you know, when you get out of school or even before school, I used to turkey hunt before school.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I got up and just did and loved, and kind of drove me to say, you know what, I do need to do, you know, better in school, but I'm going to get up and turkey hunt.
Right.
I'm still going to be able to do what I want to do, and I was be outside and on the land, whatever it was. But I knew that if I didn't, my mom was going to come down.
Right.
So I had to basically compromise, if you will.
And that brings that brings a point to my mind when you mention, you know, before school you turkey hunted, and I did that too, but I had no knowledge of the benefits of managing properties. In fact, our mentality was kill them.
Right.
You know, that's all we thought about. We didn't think about preserving the game. We didn't.
Sure.
That was not even on our minds. All we thought about was killing them. And I'm glad that we've came to the revelation that preserving them is, it's much more rewarding. And not only that, it makes for so much better hunts for, like we've been talking about, our children and our families.
That's exactly right. I can't stress enough the fun that I've had growing up doing what I do.
Right.
And I'm very lucky and fortunate, as I'm sure you were too, to be able to have access to land, to be able to just run and go on.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys had a family farm that was probably close by where you grew up there, and you know it was feasible to go out in the mornings, but not everybody had that.
Right.
And I grew up in an area that not that many people hunted. One, because there wasn't that much ground that people would let you hunt, but two, just where I was at in Central Virginia, not that many kids in school hunted.
Right.
And I was the weird guy.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I was happy to be the weird guy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it just not that many people did it.
Yeah. And when everyone hunted when we were in school. In fact,
right.
I was thinking of one family who their whole family hunted, and it was a very large family. And they had purchased a farm, and I mean, it was just jammed up with turkeys.
Right.
And I'm not gonna say their names on here, but they literally, big family.
Yeah.
They were the same mindset I was. They literally shot the turkeys to almost. This isn't true for the area, but to
right.
extinction on that property.
On that property, there's just very. They dwindled down the numbers
yeah.
based on harvesting.
I remember they killed six one morning.
Oh my word!
Between the family, and I remember 2 years later, I was talking to him. He's like, "Man, we haven't heard a turkey gobble," and I'm sitting there like, well, "Maybe we're a little too hard on them over there."
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you know, that's just how well. Land and legacy and just the management, that's just how things are evolving, and people just see the benefits. We can't overstate the enjoyment and everything of just managing farms. I can't overstate that, because managing them is just as important to me as actually making the harvest.
Well, when we were recovering this bird, we looked up at each other. We're like, I can't wait to go do this again.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to get in that mindset of let's go find the next goblin bird. Like, let's just go. But it's like, enjoy this moment. Enjoy the reminiscing. Enjoy the fact that now you have to go and introduce your son or have
right.
fun this afternoon on the lake. And then enjoy the process of making the habitat better throughout the rest of the year to do this again.
Right.
And
do
I think that's where
that's
there's a lot of emphasis on harvests, it just in our society, culture, hunting industry, whatever you want to call it, it's glorified and it's a great success. But at the same time, this right here, what we're doing, reminiscing and talking about how we can manage and manipulate the land better, that's part of it as well.
That's,
and that needs to be, it's understated.
Yeah, for sure. We're sitting here just admiring a beautiful Longbeard gobbler.
Mm-hmm. Missouri Ozark longbeard gobbler.
That's right.
They, grown up in Virginia, being in timber, we had tons and tons of great hunts, public and private land. But I don't know. There's just something about, I don't know if it's just the cattle, the timber, the mix, the hills in southern Missouri. But I just, there's something iconic about Ozark turkeys.
For sure. And some of them will give you a run for your money.
Oh, they a lot of times they don't work just like this one did.
No, yeah, that's right. And I don't know what it is. Well, how many did we...
How many did we hear this morning that didn't come in,
yeah.
right?
And we had a few. Well, we got backdoored a few times this
mm-hmm.
morning.
We did.
Where it didn't work out.
Yep.
For whatever reason. They were just turkeys being turkeys.
Yep.
But you know what? We had plenty of subjects to move on and keep
yep.
the game rolling for Trace.
And I think some of those subjects actually ganged up and got together, and we called in the whole flock, and that's how it ended. I don't know how many longbeards there were, but two definitely came in. This one strutting, And what was we talked about too there after the hunt, but when they got up on that log.
Yeah.
Boy, and wasn't the, that the awesome. First one jumped up and just looked, hopped down. The second one gets up. We called to it and just full strut
full
reaches
strut
out, just gobbles
log.
Off that log. And man, that was cool.
Yes. That was cool. Something I'll never forget. The shot was pretty awesome too.
Yeah. Going back and we rewatched the footage and it ended up being perfectly timed because we kind of had to scramble when we got to where we thought, okay, this will be a good place to call. We heard some, let's just try and see where they're at, called, and they just tore the woods down. They were like, oh my gosh, they're less than 150 yards. We need just to sit down. We scrambled, sat down, and I actually got right behind Trace, and it was kind of over the shoulder shot.
When
those birds came in, and they stopped perfect, and they actually gobbled to the two clucks that made them stop, and he goes, bam!
Shot right. him in mid-gobble.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
It was beautiful, beautiful stuff. Well, any closing statements on land or closing thoughts on some tips on how to manage turkeys and different other areas that might be suffering, Seth?
There again, I think, you know, trail camera photos. We've kept the trail cameras up on the food plots, and we actually had over 20 long beards in one picture. This is a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew that there was a lot of turkeys over here, so it wasn't a surprise. So, you know, keeping the cameras up, that's one thing. Just like the deer, you want to know what's there. We want to know what age is there, just like the deer. I know it's just a turkey, but we still want to know. And then again.
Well, with that, just within the if you will, pecking order,
right.
Excuse the pun, that plays a difference in the way that you call to birds, the way they respond, the decoy setup, everything. There's a lot to it. So understanding through trail cameras what you have out there, you know, a 2-year-old and 3-year-old sound pretty much the same when they're on the limb.
Right.
But kind of having an idea of again, what that dynamic, if you will, age structure.
Right.
That sounds silly. We're trying to, you know, talk deer and turkey at the same time, but it actually does play an important role.
Oh, I agree. And you know, you mentioned decoy setup. I mean, last year on this farm, I believe we killed 3 longbeards, and we killed them all ferociously coming to a strutting decoy.
Yes.
And like you said, you know, you could say, hey, look at these trail camera pictures. There's a lot of longbeards over here.
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know, and you look at this turkey here that we're looking at, I noticed the one spur, I mean, he's been fighting a little bit.
Yeah. He's got thick spurs.
Yes,
he
does.
Man.
So with that being said, you know, those strutter decoys on a farm where there's only 2 longbeards on a 600-acre farm or whatever the case
mm-hmm.
may be, you know, they may not have any desire to fight or there's lots of hens or whatever the case may be. So, I mean, that can dictate, you know. I've had buddies who like, you kill them on a strutter decoy? Yeah. Every time I put that out, they run the other way. And there again, that's the time of the year. But valuable information. I think there again, the timber, the TSIs that we do and things like that, we make lots of nesting habitat.
Yep.
In fact, it's nothing on the north track over here.
Mm-hmm.
When we get to the third week of our season, you can't hardly walk our logging roads without just hens coming up out of multiple rose bushes,
mm-hmm.
out of our clear cuts, or the edges of our TSIs, excuse me, to where they're just coming up out of nests.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm talking everywhere. I'm not just talking one or two. I'm
mm-hmm.
talking you're walking around the roads chasing gobblers, and hens are coming up out of nests.
Yep.
So, you know, nesting is, I think, a big role, and not just getting too hard on them. That's another
mm-hmm.
thing that
– laying off when you need to lay off. You have to have
off.
That inventory.
Right.
Trail cameras out to kind of be able to understand that, gauge that. And then, again, it reverts back to if you have habitat, good quality habitat, for
right.
every life cycle, every stage in that life cycle for a turkey, before they're even born, for quality nesting habitat to brood rearing habitat, you're going to have turkeys.
Right.
It's just a matter of time. You're going to have them, but you need to keep that and maintain it as such.
Right.
If you let it go, you're going to lose your turkeys. You're not
right.
going to get those hatches that you once experienced.
Right. And we're a two-bird state.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, this is kind of how we think. You know, I know the Stratton guys are coming in. They're coming to hunt.
Yep.
So if I was taking my trail camera inventory and I thought, you know, we didn't have as many turkeys for whatever reason as we've had in the past, You know, I've got three people that hunt in my family. You know, we may not decide to kill our second bird, let the Stratton guys come in, let them kill a bird. If we've got plenty, you know, I may kill two, Trace may kill one, or Trace may kill two, and vice versa. But, you know, we're not just going to try to get out there and fill all of our tags if we're not seeing the turkeys that we want to see on our farms.
That's right. That's right.
Lay off of them when we think we should.
That's it. There's no better way to kind of get an inventory between the trail cameras and just getting out and listening.
Yeah.
And there's something so special to be said about spring mornings.
That's right.
Just get up before dawn and just go listen.
Love it.
I absolutely love it. So, well, guys, I certainly appreciate you letting me tag along this morning and enjoy an awesome hunt just a little bit early before I get the chance to bring a gun. Trace, fantastic shooting. Great job. Great nap, too, right off the roost. You did well on that nap.
Wakes up. Did any turkeys come while I was sleeping?
Gotta love it. Well, appreciate you guys being on. Trace?
Appreciate you.
Good job, man.
Thank you.
You bet.
Good job, buddy.
We will catch you guys later. See ya.
Later.
Well, there you have it.
Man, I can't tell you how excited I was for that hunt to come together. I mean, that was just fantastic. I know, unfortunately, you weren't able to be there, Adam. But it was just a fun experience to see a dad and a son spend some time outside and capture a hunt and capture a memory and share it together.
Man, that's right. It was an awesome hunt. I know I've watched the footage, and it's one of those, you know, everybody says, like deer hunters say, oh, I love big 8-pointers or a waterfowl hunter says, oh, I just love hunting in timber. When it comes to wild turkeys, there's some guys like myself that say, oh, I just love chasing them in the timber.
I do.
And that was a pretty stinking awesome, even though it wasn't wide open timber.
No.
Which people say they love it. I mean, they love hunting them in wide open timber. Of course, by now everybody knows, well, wide open timber isn't always best for your habitat, but it can create some great turkey hunts. And that one was a little bit different, but at the same time, hey, you guys had an awesome hunt.
Yeah, sure did.
Great stories by Trace and Seth.
You know, one thing that I want to say real quick is that experience, though, that's, again, why land is so absolutely incredible and has the ability to impact people. It impacted me. It impacted you, Adam, as a child, as a kid growing up, having those experiences. But that is the power and the reason why nature was created. It allows us to be able to get out there, strengthen relationships with people who are close to us, and just take a step back from things sometimes and slow down and be like, wow, this is the spring. This is the morning is coming alive, and I'm a part of it. And it's that, it's important to me. It gives you perspective. I think nature has a way of speaking to people. I don't mean that, you know, to be silly or anything.
It has a way to speak to people.
Serious about it. And
unlike somebody can speak to people.
Yeah, there's no doubt. It's truly an experience that, man, you just cannot. I can't overemphasize how important it is for people to get outside and just take it in. Just
exhale.
Yeah.
Just exhale. Get outside and exhale.
If you're going out, and I know you do it too, I always listen better. And like when I'm listening for turkeys, if I just close my eyes, I can pinpoint turkeys better. But when you close your eyes, you listen to the spring peepers. You listen to all these songbirds that are waking up. I mean, that's just rejuvenating to me. Incredible.
It's almost like this spring you ought to take a chance. I mean, it would make hunting a little bit more difficult, but try to go out one time and spend most of the morning with your eyes closed. Like every time you stop, close your eyes. You're going to start taking in the sounds a whole lot more.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's other times where plug your ears. You're going to start noticing the tiniest of details and all the views a little bit more.
Remove a sense and things will come alive. Things will certainly come alive.
Last week when I was sick and I lost my sense of, I couldn't smell anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was throwing up so much I couldn't hear hardly anything. But at the same time, I had the strongest taste. My sense of taste was incredible during that time.
Well, that's weird.
Weird. But at the same time, take away a few senses and your other ones get stronger. And when you start appreciating the land for what it is and what God created for us to enjoy and see his work through that.
That's exactly what it's there for. Give glory to him so we can see just how magnificent creation is.
Yes, and how powerful he is. Yep. And so get outside this spring, enjoy it, smell the roses, watch the butterflies, all the stuff that that you probably laugh about when you listen to us talk about all the little things that I just get drooling over. Do that, and I promise you, you'll have a new respect for the land. So anyway, hopefully you guys will join us next week. Until then, be safe and have some fun.
We'll see you.